Fear in the face. Yes, I was scared to sell my business and retire, but I sold it anyway. It was a big risk, but I have also found that when I do take risks, that is when I have the most personal growth. Sitting on the sidelines or becoming a TV-watching homebody was not on Catherine's agenda. She wanted to fulfill a few dreams she had not been able to get to when working. For starters, she began to learn Spanish. Being a global citizen and someone who has traveled extensively, she felt diminished only knowing one language. It was really hard to learn a new language at her age, but she was doing it anyway. Catherine also had a childhood dream she had never fulfilled. She had always wanted to sing. As a child, I was the oldest of seven children, she explains, and when I told my mom I wanted to stay after school and join the chorus, the answer was a very loud and repeated no. There were kids to babysit and diapers to change, so I grew up feeling bitter that I could not participate in any singing groups. Fast forward to last year, when an old childhood friend told her via Facebook about a choral group in the Seattle area community where Catherine lives. She went, tried out, and was accepted as a singer. That group just sang at Carnegie Hall in New York City. Carnegie Hall was amazing, Catherine told me, smiling from ear to ear. We had a standing ovation from an almost full house of 2,500 people. It was an aha experience and just shows that my best days are not behind me. Whereas Catherine took the retirement bull by the horns and found an immediate way to make herself feel happy and fulfilled, most people do not start off their retirement that way. One man posted the following on a career website. I just took early retirement from my company at age 57. I love my work, but because the 20 and 30-somethings were taking over, I felt I had no choice but to leave. My last year there was horrible, so I gave up and retired. Now I feel so angry and cheated. I'm a workaholic. I loved working. Who decided that when you hit a certain age, you are no longer needed? My brain still works fine. I'm looking for a new job, but I see that age discrimination thing everywhere I go. I've been retired for exactly 1 month, and I'm climbing the walls. I'm really getting tired of housework, but that's all I have to do. I have no hobbies. My job was my life. I'm becoming more and more depressed every day. I feel so useless. I don't think my life should be considered over at age 57, but it seems to be. I tell people I'm retired and their eyes glass over, like I'm completely irrelevant now. Do I have to accept that my life is over? My self-esteem is so far down, I don't know if I can ever feel good about myself again. There are days when I wish I could just go to sleep and never wake up. The whole world would probably be better off. I seem to be just taking up space here. Wow, this man needs career counseling and a good retirement plan. Yet if you read through his complaints, you can hear the thoughts many other people think too. This explains why many end up retired and miserable, failed retirees. Trainer and coach Dori Gillum of Positive Endings, www.dorigillum.com, specializes in working with people over 60. She has a mile-deep understanding of baby boomers facing retirement. She teaches people that they need to change the way they envision retirement. Usually, she says, it's really just aging, not retiring. The one big question she asks boomers to consider is, who are you going to be as you age? Dori points out people need to do a bit more in retirement than they thought they might, to shake it up a bit and try something new. They need to think hard about, what will I do when I no longer work to live? The typical response is often, are you kidding? I'm going to play tennis or golf or lie on the beach. That plan, then, is to do nothing. The trouble with doing nothing is that you never know when you're done. There is so much more to consider. How will you contribute? What will you learn? Who will you teach? You'll have plenty of time to lie on the beach, but you also need to think about how you will nourish your soul. Kate Weston, an organizational consultant with CWA Connect, works with executives and professionals on various behavioral issues, including dealing with boomers close to retiring. There is a lot of concern about facing the biggest change of your life. For many individuals, she explains, there is a concern of feeling irrelevant once you retire, that society won't see you as important as you were before. In my own work, I have seen that my clients' needs for relevance can dramatically intensify once they lose their work identity, workplace colleagues, and access to professional development. Nobody wants to become obsolete or to be perceived as disconnected or unproductive, especially baby boomers, who may feel irrelevance runs contrary to everything they stand for and have sought to achieve. Most people who feel irrelevant assume that society made them that way, but that's not the case. You make yourself irrelevant by your own negative thoughts. This book is designed to positively motivate you by offering hundreds of new ideas you can implement. But the feeling that you have value must come from inside you. Taking action to create a new life, a fun and worthwhile life, will keep you from feeling irrelevant. You'll have too many important things to do. Don't fixate. Many people obsess about the financial aspects of retirement. How will we pay the bills? Do we have enough in our pensions or our 401k? What happens if we become ill? What happens if our Social Security runs out? It's not that these questions aren't important. In fact, they are, and we'll explore them in Chapter 4. Many retirement books and articles dwell on the money part of retirement. This audiobook is different. Sadly, few boomers spend much time thinking about what they will do to fill the days that stretch empty and unstructured ahead of them. It quickly became clear to me that I needed to offer career coaching focused on how to fill your days meaningfully for years to come. That is a key question, and answering it requires some serious self-analysis. If I retire, what will I do? That is the elephant in the room. We fear not knowing. We fear being irrelevant and alone. In essence, we are scared of a major life change. This is why it's important, as you look ahead, to have a good, well-structured plan you feel excited to live out. Bill, a recent career counseling client and owner of a boutique accounting firm, told me, "I spent my work life solely focused on my job. My wife says I was a workaholic. Really? I took great pride in the work I did as a CPA. Sure, I worked a lot of hours, but you do when you own the business and it's your name on the door. I really feel desperate about leaving my work identity behind, which is why the whole retirement thing is driving me nuts. What am I going to do? How will I matter? Who will I be? I don't have a clue as to how I can rechannel myself and make my retirement as good as my work life has been." I think most successful people may really suck at this business life to retirement transition. My brother retired last year after being a lawyer his whole life, and he's miserable. Feels like he is a has-been and can't find a new road for this life stage. I don't want that to be me. Too often we try to replicate our careers by hanging out a shingle as a consultant or a speaker. It often doesn't work out and leads to a lot of frustration and even depression. Type A's and high achievers do need to rechannel themselves and to learn how to let go of the anxiety and drive that fueled their work lives. That doesn't mean life is over. On the contrary, retirement is a time to set new goals that ensure you avoid boredom yet don't recreate the stress of your former career. Whether you are married to your career, just got tired, left because the company wanted you gone, or the job was simply a way of bringing home a paycheck, you still need a reason to get up in the morning once you begin your retirement reinvention. What's that elephant in the room? Let's address one of the big elephant in the room challenges: fear of becoming irrelevant or even invisible. Start by asking yourself these key questions. Who will I be after I retire? What will I do? What's the one thing I haven't done yet because I'm afraid? In retirement, your identity may need to be redefined. You need new dreams, new goals, and fun, exciting things to look forward to. Unconscious, limiting beliefs may prevent you from doing things you could really enjoy. What prevents you from going after your dreams? You may not have given yourself permission to pursue what you really want. Some folks believe that they don't have the right to be fully alive and happy. That isn't true. You need to focus on planning a better future for yourself now, one that allows you to be fully alive and happy. Developing a happier retirement starts with some serious soul searching. You need to begin to think about the questions above and also to try to answer the questions below. You may want to get a journal or a dedicated notepad. First, contemplate your answers, then write them down. Consider these questions. What do you really want to do? What is meaningful to you now? What makes you happy? What have you done recently that was really fun? How important is making a difference to you? Do you care about leaving a legacy behind? How do you deal with ambiguity? What things haven't you tried but secretly would like to? How do you create an intentional life? These are some heady questions to think about, but now is the time to face your fears so a new you can emerge. Adaptability is key. Consider how you manage change. Easily? With great difficulty? Somewhere in between? Leaving work for retirement is a major, major change. Many people over-identify with their job and have to remind themselves that after they retire, they still have value, still have a lot to offer, and that there is so much yet to experience and do. You may need to repeat this as a new mantra, because deep down inside, many people are afraid of being irrelevant. Fear keeps them working when instead they could be planning something new, different, and fun for themselves. Make a conscious choice to think about your own life ahead. Forget about limits for a moment. What haven't you done yet? What fun things do you want to do? How do you create a life you want to live? What are two things in life you want to do and will definitely regret not doing? Now you have two activities, experiences, or missions that need to be completed. Now go back and write in when you want to have completed these things. Make it sooner rather than later. Do you have a bucket list? If not, create one here. If you do, look it over and revise it so it is current and reflects the things you still want to accomplish or experience in your lifetime. Fill this bucket list with your dreams, goals, and ambitions. Dream big. Bucket list. How do you plan on spending your retirement? These pursuits appeared in the following percentage of answers to this question. Travel, 55%. Spend more time with family, 52%. Volunteer work, 34%. Take up a hobby, 34%. Work, full-time and part-time, 34%. Spend time with friends, 30%. Continue education, 7%. Start a business, 5%. Source, USA Today. Here are the 10 things I definitely want to do before I die. On the accompanying PDF worksheet, you can record your answers. As you look ahead, you need to create a new life that has a purpose, something that makes getting up in the morning worthwhile. You need to consider what you are going to do with your time. As you cruise into this final career stage, having some meaningful work, truly feeling satisfied by what you do, is key to retirement success. You'll have more joy and a better life if you have meaningful work as a part of your retired life. Keep in mind that this doesn't mean the same old job you are leaving behind. As part of their retirement reinvention, many people take on new jobs in a whole different arena. Something fun. They mostly select stress-free jobs that bring them into contact with a lot of people, because in retirement, it often becomes necessary to make new friends and seek out new social connections. You might, for example, take a hobby you love and turn that into a new career. The trends point to many boomers working in part-time jobs, some paid, others volunteer. But many boomers see the need to have an important and worthwhile purpose in their lives, and this comes from some form of work. The goal for your retirement reinvention is this: seek out work that's different from your old career. Do something new in a new field. Find something that's a source of fun, with social interaction and satisfaction. Consider something enriching and enjoyable that you can do with like-minded people. A tiny bit of couples therapy. In retirement, couples face unique problems they likely have not encountered before. Have you and your spouse discussed how each of you will spend your days once you are retired? In my professional experience, this is a subject people don't talk or think about enough. As a couple, you very likely have not had 24/7 time together for decades. Once you are both retired, you will. What does that new life look like? Each spouse really needs to think about this. One thing that seems to cause serious problems is selling one's home too fast. If you sell and move away, you don't just get rid of the house, but also leave behind your friends, network, doctors, clubs, and all the connections you've built over the years. All this can be hard to replace in a new region. Moving. Beware. Betsy shares her frustration with moving. Moving is a big deal, a much bigger deal socially than I had considered. I wish I could move back. I hate my new neighborhood and how I know no one. Betsy sold and downsized, moving from one side of the city to another, about 15 miles away. I didn't think it would be a problem, but once I moved, I realized it was like starting all over again. It was so awful. No neighbors next door to chat with, no close friends just a minute or two away, not knowing the church, and of course I never considered how much the traffic would interfere with seeing old friends. Keep in mind that moving anywhere is a big change. Time to plan. Let's begin the career counseling process of planning out your retirement by taking my proprietary retiring values assessment, interest inventory, and hobbies prioritization test. This will help you envision your own future more clearly. Let's investigate what matters to you now at this stage of your life. What are you interested in? What kinds of people do you wish to surround yourself with? What kinds of fun jobs or small businesses can you move into and remain happy and vibrant in, living life to its fullest when you are retired? How do you envision spending your retirement days? Choose any that apply. Leisure, volunteer work, unpaid, service work, paid or unpaid, choose one, paid job, start a business. Values assessment. Our values change over time. Let's determine exactly what matters the most to you at this age. Review the values on the accompanying PDF and circle the 5 most important for your retirement reinvention. Values are motivators. Now list the 5 values you circled in order of importance on the accompanying PDF. Next, examine how you want to balance your time using this leisure work time assessment. The results will provide the building blocks for our retirement reinvention plan. 1 week has 168 hours. Decide how you plan to spend them. My retired week, 168 hours. Let's begin by subtracting the basics. Sleep, 58 hours, or approximately 8.25 hours a night, equals 110 hours left. Eating, approximately 10 hours, according to the Department of Agriculture, which equals 100 hours left. Now, what are you going to do with your 100 hours each week? We all have the same amount of time. Be realistic and decisive about how you will use yours. Divide the 100 hours of the week among the activities on the PDF and note any other activities too. Work and volunteer time, leisure time, TV watching, newspaper, magazine, or book reading, on computer, iPad, or cell phone, doing social media, exercise, dressing and bathing, cooking, obligations, chores, or housework, anything else. Define your interests. Do what you love simply because it will make you happy. What turns you on? What makes you come alive and feel excited? It's passion we are looking for here. Blending your talents and interests is the secret formula for long-term retirement happiness. Your objective is to define what you find interesting. Examine both personal and professional interests. Let your mind roam and record everything that comes into it. Food, music, travel, online auctions, anything you enjoy learning about, discussing, or doing. How do people find fun jobs that they would love to do? They start by selecting an area in which they are interested. Let's take a look at your past and present hobbies. These can be very rewarding and lead to your post-retirement career. Your passion can be a starting point. Here are a few examples. When Kristen tired of the daily drain from her hospital social work duties and was contemplating retirement, we uncovered her true passion, her artistic talents. She began to take some drawing and graphic design classes. She loved to create new things, especially illustrations and digital art. Today, she works part-time at a nonprofit and creates artwork, graphics, and designs for its marketing materials and website. She earns a salary, not as high as before, but she loves the work. It equals out for her happiness in exchange for a job she'd grown to hate. A fitness buff who retired from the Navy as an officer, Dave had no intention of returning to work. It came about, though, when one day at the gym, someone asked him for training help. He coached the man, who was impressed, and offered to pay Dave to train him. "I had always worked out and studied the magazines and different routines," notes Dave, who ended up deciding to get certified as a fitness trainer. "I now have several clients. This job pays good money, but it's so much fun helping people improve their health and fitness. I do it for free." Your retirement reinvention career may be born from pursuing hobbies or dreams. As we see from Dave and Kristen, they may even pay a salary. You may feel more comfortable doing something that brings in a paycheck. But also remember that when you work at something you love, it can enrich your whole life, making you and everyone around you happier. Hang in here a bit longer if you have no hobbies or can't think of any to pursue. We've got a long list of ideas coming up. Why is meaningful work important? Meaningful activity will play a huge role in your retired life. If you feel bored, depressed, or unsatisfied with what you do for large parts of the day, it can take a serious toll on your physical and mental health. Give some thought to things you enjoy doing as a child and in your teen years. Often, our truest passions emerge in childhood, only to be squelched by real-life pressures. Think about what you loved long before you had to worry about your career. Writing? Science experiments? Taking care of people? Getting back in touch with those instincts may be helpful and an important step in finding your retirement passion. In career counseling, when people want to change careers, we often ask them, if money were no object, what would you want to do? That's the kind of fun and passion you should try to pursue in retirement. If you are stuck, look through a college catalog, especially at the continuing education classes. Which courses naturally interest you? Acting? Painting? Reading tarot cards? Car mechanics? Fine art? History? What courses do you think you could teach? Which subjects scare you to death, and which ones do you find boring? Revisiting these possibilities will help point you in the direction of subjects and topics you would love to know more about. Once you have a solid idea of what you love doing, get online. Check out Facebook, Pinterest, or Twitter to uncover and connect with people who share your areas of interest. Read blogs, join forums, and find out what it's really like to do what attracts your interest. This time spent exploring should be both fun and useful. You'll get ideas about different jobs, groups, and potential employers as you pursue your interests. I had a pretty fun job because I really love sports, says Greg, who was a writer for NBC Sports, when he took an early retirement. His wife traveled, so he had lots of time to spend with his two very active teenage boys. Within a few years, however, he had too much time on his hands. I needed to do something worthwhile, Greg says. I decided to pursue another interest, politics. I had always followed the news and had strong views on key issues. I spent the next 13 months working on a national campaign for a woman running for office. I loved the competitive strategy, the campaigning, and most of all, I was aligned with the causes and values. I saw eye to eye on the issues with this candidate. So when the race was over, I'd had such a good experience, I began to look for the next candidate I could volunteer to work for. You are multifaceted too. Consider your interests and begin to explore a few. Need some ideas? Keep listening. Hobbies. Make money. Try new things. Chapel was a librarian who worked across from a large lake and took a ferry to work every day, a long but relaxing commute. At age 61, she decided to retire. A couple years earlier at work, I'd heard a very interesting presentation that caught my interest. It was by Anna Cummins, an Olympic rower who had won a gold medal in the 2008 Summer Olympics and a silver medal in the 2004 Summer Olympics. After listening to her presentation and getting to talk to her, I found a fascination with rowing that I never even knew I had before. I thought I should try to take some classes to learn to row. But unfortunately, my schedule just always conflicted, so that new hobby got tabled. A few months into her retirement, she took a rowing class at the age of 62. She was fascinated because many of the women in the class were in their 60s and 70s, and a few were even in their 80s. She said to herself, "I want that 80-year-old out there rowing to be me." She told me, "When I was working, my idea of an outside sport was to read a book under a tree. I have no athletic ability, and I had never done athletic activities because there really weren't any when I was growing up. So I took this rowing class and figured out that you either love it or it's not for you. and it's definitely for me. The group is a really wonderful bunch of old farts who really enjoy what they're doing. Luckily, it's a welcoming group, but you've got to pull your own weight. No one ever made fun of me because I didn't know what to do or I wasn't very good. Compared to many of them, I'm still not very good, but I love it because it gets me up every day and out on the water. Once you commit, Chapel explains, you have to show up. You can't just say, I don't feel like doing it today. For me, it's not about the exercise. I truly love rowing. It gives me a kind of zen experience, focusing on each stroke, trying to make it perfect, and the next one perfect. So it's a unique experience where you need to be focused on what you're doing, and then the rest of the world seems to dissolve away. Maybe something on the hobbies list on the accompanying PDF will catch your eye. If so, investigate it. Talk to people who do it. Try it out. Try a few out. And quit quickly if you find it's not for you. Then try something else. Retirement can have many new fun activities in it. Enjoy the process of trying to find a few you'll love doing. The accompanying PDF has a partial list of hobbies you might want to pursue in your retirement. Check off any that seem like they might be of real interest. Other ideas to consider. Gardening. Master gardener. Volunteer at city parks. Florist. Work at a plant nursery. Pets. Dog trainer. Pet walker. Pet sitter. Pet photographer. Board animals while people are on vacation. Grooming. Writing. Novelist. Blogger. Ghostwriter. Copywriter. Freelance article writer. Content developer. Write social media for a business, author, speaker, editor, proofreader. Teach writing. Cooking. Teach cooking classes. Create custom cakes. Cater. Be a rent-out chef for dinner parties. Bake or sell pies. Sell cookies. Create a cookbook. Develop a recipe blog. Shopping. Mystery shopper. Retail job. Personal shopper. Bargain shopping. Reselling. Movies. Actor. Becoming an extra in films or TV shows. Work in production as a part of a film crew. Photography. Sell photos on online websites. Charge for family or baby pictures. Cover birthday parties. Take youth sports pictures. Sports. Coach. Referee. Sell game tickets. Work on the grounds crew. Be part of a team call center. Sell team items. Sell food at games. Teach lessons. Sell sports memorabilia. YouTube channel. Yoga, makeup, hair, cooking, custom designs, entertaining, stock picking, whatever your interest is, you can make videos and educate others via a YouTube online channel. Music. Play in a band, sing, teach music lessons, sell instruments, be a voice teacher, work at a radio station. Crafts. Make and sell any kind of craft online and or at community markets, flea markets, and festivals, such as jewelry, pottery, blown glass, paintings, handmade art, hair bows, knitted sweaters, scarves. Antiques. Buy and sell. Work in an antique shop. Sewing. Make items and sell at community fairs or farmers markets. Sell items online at Etsy or eBay. Do alterations. Make and sell costumes for pets. Here are more, specifically, income-earning options. Retail clerk. 29% of HR managers from large national retail stores say they plan to hire retirees. Personal assistant. You might be able to use your skills to help a family by being an assistant who does just about everything, From helping with household chores, to addressing Christmas cards, shopping, to driving children, or anything else the family or professional needs you to do. Kids chauffeur. This is a position where you can make some extra money and really feel like you're part of a family. You become the nanny or manny whose responsibilities include picking up the kids from school and driving them to activities, music lessons, sports practices, tutoring appointments, etc., and then taking them home and remaining with them until a parent gets there. Tour guide. Museums, duck boats, wineries, historical sites, aquariums, city tours, any places a tourist might go often need tour guides. This is a great job if you love meeting new people. Driver. Uber or Lyft. You use your own car and work whenever you want to. An easy way to make a little extra cash driving people where they need to go. Many elderly people need and pay a driver to take them to the doctor or grocery store. Ask around, as these will likely be network jobs. Your driving skills might also be put to work in a limo or a school bus or an airport shuttle. All services looking for drivers. Sports. Love sports? Many seasonal workers are hired by professional teams and for college sporting events and team operations. Jobs such as selling tickets, being an usher, selling food, working maintenance, etc. Check the team or college athletics websites for seasonal job openings. Work from home call centers. A lot of people take on a position where they're paid to sit at home by the computer and answer their telephone to offer information to callers. Not bad, because you can sit in your pajamas and still do the job. Tutor. Whether online or at a retail storefront offering tutoring, this is a great opportunity to help students while you earn a nice salary for every hour worked. Or you advertise at the local school and do tutoring in your own home or at the local library. Send an email to the guidance counselors and elementary school teachers telling them that you're available and giving your contact info and background. You'll get busy very fast. Set up a PayPal account to make it easy to get paid unless you only take checks or cash. Handyman. If you can fix things, you will be popular in any neighborhood. Your word-of-mouth reputation will spread like wildfire as long as you do a good job. Mystery shopper. If you like to give your opinion, there are a lot of retail stores and restaurants that like to hire mystery shoppers to go in and experience their operations. They want you to have a customer experience interacting with their staff anonymously, then write a report rating the experience. This doesn't pay a lot, but it sure is a fun job that people have told me they really enjoy doing. Be a seller. If you have things to sell, eBay and Etsy are great options. Many bargain hunters go to garage sales and flea markets and then turn around and sell their finds for a nice profit on eBay. Creative people can sell everything from jewelry, hats, scarves, and custom baby items to blown glass and so much more. Etsy.com is the premier site for people who want to buy custom handmade or one-of-a-kind items. Substitute teacher. Check into the laws for substitutes in your area for both public and private schools. You may only need to have a college degree and not be a certified teacher. Subs can make between $100 and $200 a day. And you have enormous flexibility. Just say no if you don't want to work on any day the automatic system calls you to come in. Run your own business. You set it up. You define the hours and how hard you work at it. See Chapter 12 for detailed advice on this option. Now prioritize your top three hobbies. See the accompanying PDF. As you consider your future, be aware of one trap. It is easy to slip into watching a lot of TV. Individuals born between 1946 and 1964, that's right, the baby boomers, grew up with TV. Most of us have multiple TV sets in our homes. Some people have the TV on nearly all the time for the noise and the companionship. Many watch the continuous DIY, house remodeling, or cooking show channels. It's one thing to watch a few movies and TV shows, but it's easy to slip into a mode of watching too much TV and not socializing or pursuing other hobbies. Just something to think about and watch out for. Most popular leisure activities among baby boomers in the United States. Watching TV, 42%. Reading books, 40%. Computer or internet, 21%. Spending time with family and friends, 17%. Walking, jogging, or running, 11%. Gardening, 11%. Watching or going to movies, 10%. Ignite an old passion. As a teen, I loved riding my motorcycle. It was such a sense of freedom, a real blast. Then I got in a serious accident, one I can't remember to this day. I stopped riding after that, says Gary, a retired business owner. Fast forward 40 years, and Gary is at a charity auction and on impulse makes a ride the new motorcycle bid. I wondered if I still had the itch. Seems I did because I went out and bought myself a new Harley, Gary explains. I heard about a group of local vets who rode, and I hooked up with them. It was 5 years ago that we discussed taking a road trip. One guy said, "Let's go to Rolling Thunder in D.C., a 9-hour motorcycle ride away." We expected to be with another 9 or 10,000 bikers who were vets or supported vets, says Gary. Rolling Thunder is celebrated on Memorial Day weekend in Washington, D.C. Vets and supporters ride their motorcycles through the city streets in honor of POWs and MIAs. When I returned from serving in Vietnam, there was no ticker tape parade, and big thanks for serving the country, says Gary. We didn't get the respect or gratitude we all deserved. Rolling Thunder is our way of demonstrating we still care about those who died and those who are left behind. To Gary's astonishment, over 1 million motorcycle riders were there, united under the motto, "We will never forget," in support of fellow soldiers who never came home from war. The streets were lined with visitors cheering and declaring their support. "It was amazing. Unbelievably amazing," exclaims Gary. "I hope to do this forever." If you've never been, never seen this, you truly need to add it to your must-do list and experience it once in your lifetime. Gary rediscovered a lost interest, motorcycle riding, in his retirement years at age 60. He often rides with buddies. Beyond the very special meaning Rolling Thunder has for these men, the camaraderie is addictive. Do you have a hobby, a lost interest you want to retry? No better time to do it than right now. You never know where it will lead, but likely to finding new friends. On the accompanying PDF, write down your lost hobby to look into. Chase your dream. Chapter 3. Where to live. New home? Two homes? Stay put? When people fantasize about retirement, they often think about their best vacations or how they like to spend their leisure time. If the number one dream is living by the beach, the number two dream is living on a golf course and enjoying the views, even if you don't play golf. Some think about returning to college and living in a college town and drool over the opportunity to take classes for free. See Chapter 11. Then there are some who are simply happy to relax, throw away the alarm clock, and enjoy a non-scheduled life. Many people want their life to have purpose and meaning, so volunteering and making a difference by giving back to society and others is prime on their list. Then there are the creative pursuits, like writing, painting, or mastering a craft that can consume your retired hours. Others need a job, part-time usually, to bring in extra cash. Still others have a hobby they want to spend more time doing, be it gardening, cooking, or pursuing genealogy. And of course, many people moved to be closer to family. What do you dream of when you think about your retirement days? List a few dreams on the accompanying PDF. Fantasy and reality may not necessarily match. Obviously, your financial situation may dictate how you pursue your dreams, but you can make almost any lifestyle work with good research, ingenuity, and planning. Ask yourself what you need to do to make that dream into a real lifestyle. Do you want to be near family? Would that entail a move? Do you like a small town? Maybe you enjoy the activities, culture, and options a larger city offers. Are you thinking about living in a resort area? Being a snowbird? Are you looking for adventure? Do you desire to live in a new country? Maybe a planned living community geared for the active over 55 crowd seems perfect for you. No matter what you choose, you need to plan it and include how you can afford it in that planning. Where are you going to live? That location or locations has a great impact on your retirement reinvention plan. You must pay attention to lifestyle choices or options. A conscious choice is better than a flippant, "I'll just keep living my life," or "I'll just wait and see what comes along," or "my income will dictate what my lifestyle will be." Your income and lifestyle choices are very interdependent. Too many people fall into retirement shock, working right to the finish line without a thought to what they will be doing during the next stage of their lives. Maybe they got forced out by a company retirement buyout or layoff. No matter how you ended up not working, you need a flexible plan for how to spend the next decade or two or three. Becoming snowbirds. Tim and Sharon left the cold northeastern winters behind right after they retired and moved to South Carolina near Myrtle Beach. They had vacationed there and loved the weather and area. Moving, however, proved to be a lonely experience. The good friends who planned to buy a home nearby never materialized. One of them had a heart attack. So Tim and Sharon then decided to buy a motorhome and start touring the 58 national parks, a major item on their bucket list. A few days before they were ready to go, Sharon's mom, back in Buffalo, fell and broke her hip. "This event with mom sent us into a tailspin," Sharon says. "She couldn't stay in her apartment, and she had little savings, a tiny pension and Social Security. When the doctor said she needed rehab and could not live alone anymore, I just assumed my sister, who lived much closer to mom, would take her in. My sister threw a hissy fit and emphatically declared, no, she would not be a caregiver. So the burden and responsibility fell on Sharon. She balked at putting her mother in a poor-quality nursing home, all mom could afford, so she brought her mother down to live with them. Mom didn't want to be alone, it turned out, especially at night, so leaving her overnight became out of the question. This ended the couple's dream of touring the national parks, and they now find themselves stuck in a town where they know no one and don't have flexibility to go out and do much. Dealing with change is hard. Add in the needs of elderly parents, and you need to be a strong couple to survive the family obligations many boomers face. Betty and Ed took a different approach, and it worked out for them. They had retired from a large healthcare organization in the cold northern Midwest and wanted to spend January through April in Florida. Ed was fairly content to do cocktail hour by the pool and play golf, but Betty missed her old job. She felt bored and adrift during the first winter in snowbird country. She found several charities she wanted to volunteer for and was really surprised to find out that they did not accept snowbirds as volunteers. Once she returned home from her first snowbird experience, she focused on opportunities near her home up north. "I started volunteering at a cancer charity at home," Betty says, "because I had gone through breast cancer myself. The job was 2 days a week, and she helped out with event planning, fundraising, and some marketing tasks. The environment and people were great. It was a terrific experience for Betty. When fall came around, she contacted me about the challenge of finding charity work in Florida. I tried talking to my coworkers and boss," she explained, "but no one interacted with the Florida office. I sent an email And the director nicely said, "We don't use snowbirds at all, ever." I was bummed out. I advised her to open a discussion with the Michigan charity she currently worked for to see if she could continue her work with them during her months in Florida. I recommended she go to them with a plan of what she could do and how she could make it work. To do this, she should check out different kinds of new technology and apps and create a written plan detailing how she could remain a part of the team using Skype and other sharing software. The result? She not only stayed engaged, but the group begged her to help with a major fundraising effort that needed a full year commitment. So Betty now works online and by phone while she enjoys the sunny, warm Florida winters. Many boomers will move away from the area they currently live in as a part of their retirement reinvention. Moving quickly can be a serious mistake. Choices about where to live and whether to live in more than one place, and if so, for how long each year, must be carefully incorporated into your plan. If you think you may want to move to be near family and grandchildren, maybe a dry run, such as renting nearby for a year, is a good way to start. Will the kids be so busy you'll rarely see them? Too many boomers regret the move afterwards, especially if they discover that the kids and the grandkids have such a hectic life that they have little time for the grandparents. Other things to think about include how to find work when living in a new place, or if you split your time, how to have one job or volunteer role while living in two places. Ask yourself how you will create new support networks and friends in a new community. How will it actually be to start completely over? Whether you move to be close to family for a better year-round climate or for a lower cost of living, you will be faced with starting again in a new place. Starting over and having to seek out new friends, places of worship, doctors, and other social connections can feel pretty awful. For many, it's a big tsunami that hits after they have already moved. Any fantasy will benefit from a bit of research. Look closely before you leap. Paul and his wife bought a second home in the desert right on a golf course. Paul loved playing golf and envisioned spending his winters and summers playing as much as possible. He assumed he'd be able to add on to golf groups and join the Winter Men's League. Once he got settled in the new house, however, he found out he needed to join the golf club and felt that paying $8,000 a year so he could golf for 3 months was too steep. "I really didn't think that they'd make me pay exorbitant fees. I assumed they'd have a drop-in or a snowbird rate." Big mistake. It seems the club needs the annual money to keep the course going, so it's the same initiation fee whether you play a little or play every day. He could go out to other clubs to play, but it was a major disappointment that his dream of playing out the back door did not work out. Dreaming of the beach. "I wanted to be by the beach," explains Jackie, who had retired after a career spent overseeing payments to New York State rehabilitation facilities. "I was burned out by the stress of my job. I just wanted to move away from the cold, snowy winters. I dreamed of going to the beach and walking along the shores every day." North Carolina was the state the couple settled on. Jackie dreamed of living at the beach where she could go for daily walks. She and her husband Jim bought a home 5 minutes from the beach, a nice large property separated from their neighbors by several acres. Within a month of retiring, the couple finalized the sale of their upstate New York home and moved down to North Carolina. It took a few months to get settled, but once they were, Jackie found herself bored and lonely. "I underestimated how difficult it would be to start over at age 60. I had lived in my last community for over 2 dozen years. I knew everyone in that small town, and they knew me," she says. "Now, I know nobody." Jackie decided to restart an old hobby and went to estate sales in search of furniture to buy cheaply and then take home and refinish. "This was a fun project," she says. "I worked on a piece of furniture, restored it, and then started another one. After a while, I couldn't keep all the furniture I'd refurbished, so I searched out consignment shops to sell the refinished pieces through. Voila! A tiny new business was born. This not only gave Jackie purpose, it also led to her finding new friends. She got to know the consignment shop owners, one of whom introduced her to Susan, who loved finding antique furniture too. On weekends, Jackie and Susan now go to estate and moving sales together. I did get the lifestyle I wanted, Jackie says. Every morning, my husband and I start off the day walking on the sandy beach for a good long time. It's why we came to North Carolina, and it's the best way to start our day. Mexico awaits. Many baby boomers dream of spending the winter someplace warm. Bill had a fantasy of living in the sunshine and not the dreary rain or the gray skies winter often brought. He was a sports medicine trainer, and his wife owned a massage practice and small spa. Bill retired in his early 50s and loved traveling, especially on vacations to Mexico. He and his wife seemed to take longer and longer vacations there, 1 week growing to two, then three, then a whole month. We got the idea to maybe go live in Mexico permanently when we saw the ad on San Francisco's Craigslist, he says. Someone was looking for a caretaker in Puerto Vallarta. Well, that was the place where they always wanted to stay on a long-term basis. But since the ad was on Craigslist, they were very skeptical at first. The job was for a couple to look after a 15-room mansion that also included a private two-bedroom villa the caretakers would be able to live in for free. The job duties included being around late at night and also doing a bit of cleanup and lending an extra hand whenever a big event was happening, such as a wedding or retreats. I had several phone calls with the owner and decided it was all legit, so we flew to Mexico and talked to the owners in person. Everything sounded good. We were able to negotiate and get the 3 summer months off, since summer is pretty darn hot in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. It was a big plus to be able to return to the States and enjoy our beautiful summer here in California. The couple would live for free, but pay for their own food. After several months with little really to do, they were asked by the owner to do a little social media and some marketing on behalf of the villa. They were paid a salary for that work. We loved our experience in Puerto Vallarta. The Mexican culture is amazing. We dreamed of staying during the whole year to experience the many festivals and get into the culture. It's a wonderful place to actually live, and it is an amazing life, Bill reports. Now, I don't speak Spanish. I have to admit, I learned a little and my wife learned a little more, but not very much at all. Yet we were able to get by just fine. We so loved the Mexican people we met. Another advantage of being in Puerto Vallarta is that many expatriates, or expats, as we locals call them, live in the area. They always have something going on and things to do and explore. People at home have a wrong conception of life in Mexico. They think Mexico is all lazy times on the beach, lots of crime, and people drinking day and night. I'm not a drinker at all, and most people we met are not big partiers. After all, this is not a vacation. This is our everyday life. We get to live this beautiful experience day in and day out. My wife and I realize how very lucky we are because it really is an amazing opportunity to live out our dreams like this, says Bill. Having free rent makes it possible for the couple to live this special lifestyle. Some go north. Many boomers seem to pick up exercising as a hobby, or is something they devote more hours to as a retiree. Couples say they enjoy golf, tennis, hiking, or bicycling together. Swimming is very popular, especially with snowbirds who spend the winter in a warm climate. Water aerobics is fun, and many retirees do it. Dancing catches the ladies' interest, everything from ballroom to Zumba, and even a new one called Nia. Then there are the people who seek out the snow. These retirees chase a different lifestyle altogether. Deer Valley Resort in Park City, Utah, has a lot of retirees who do seasonal work so they can live in a skiing wonderland. The winter brings in plenty of ski instructor jobs, but the slopes offer options for other work too. Jerry, who retired last